Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Geography. Wow. What does geography even mean, Hunter?
It can mean a lot of different things.
Would you be able to say, and perhaps, Hunter, just bear with me, that geography could mean everything?
It relates to just about everything. And the reason is because it's not a bunch of different topics, but it's rather a way of approaching looking at the world. And so for almost everything that you can look at in the world, you can look at it spatially, geographically. And so that's why geography is kind of everything, is because it's how you look at the world. It's not so much a bunch of different topics.
So if you, listener, haven't picked up here, we are hinting at something that you already know. It's in the title. The podcast that was formerly known as What If Geography is now known as, Hunter?
Geography is everything.
Because geography is, in fact, everything. This is something that we have been playing around with for now, or at least I've been thinking around with for a month or so. Hunter and I have been talking about for, you know, a week or two now. And something that, if you are an astute listener, you've probably heard me or Hunter say multiple times over the past 4 months, however long we've been doing this podcast. Geography is everything, as it turns out. And that's something I like to say because, well, it allows us to talk about everything just through a very specific lens rather than trying to adapt anything else to the wonderful world of geography. We can just sort of talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, as somebody who's, you know, we're both geography instructors, we're both geography professors. And so a lot of times we might talk about one of our lectures or a class we're teaching, and the response sometimes is that geography? That sounds more like something else. And so that's where this comes from as well, is the idea that, no, you can talk about just about everything, and it's the way that you talk about it that matters. Just like, you know, another way to think about it is history is everything, right?
Right.
Because everything that's happened is in the past, and that's history. And, you know, and historians are trying to make sense of the past and organize different periods of time into some meaningful different epochs. And so geography is very similar in that way to history, except that instead of time, we're dealing more with space and place.
Right, exactly. And so before we jump more into this, let's go back and do our introductions, just in case it's the first time that anybody here is listening to us or seeing this. I guess I'll kick us off here. My name is Jeff Gibson. I am the co-host of this podcast, host of the YouTube channel Geography by Jeff. Like I think Hunter said, that, you know, we're both geographers at heart. We really love the material. And this is sort of a really fun way to engage with sort of our chosen subject. And it's just really exciting. It's really exciting to be here and sort of starting to talk about geography and without sort of being reined in with a specific framing device. But I'll let you introduce yourself, Hunter.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm Hunter Shobey. I'm a professor of geography at Portland State University. I'm also the co-author of a couple cultural atlases. Portland is a cultural atlas, and Upper Left Cities, a cultural atlas of San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle. And those are co-authored with David Banas, but also have contributions from many other people. And Jeff, you were instrumental in helping us put together Upper Left Cities.
They're great books.
And we mentioned those because this is another way for people to get a window into our view of geography.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I think the first question a lot of people are going to have is why the rebrand? And I already kind of hinted at this, and it's really, so personally, I owe a lot, you know, to the sort of what if framework of questions, right? The what if sort of framework allows you to automatically have a format, automatically sort of have a tone, automatically have an end result to whatever you're creating. I did it with my YouTube channel for the first year of its existence. And then we did it for this podcast for the first four-ish months of its existence, first 20 episodes, really. And I think that really helped us figure out what works, what's our cadence, what's our sort of discussion flow, all that kind of stuff, without having to think about how to successfully make a podcast entertaining and successful, right? Because that's all sort of built into the what if framework.
You know, it also helped out for people to, it made it sort of accessible, geography accessible in a lot of ways. So instead of having to explain, you know, geography is everything, which we're able to do now, building on what we've already done, the what if scenarios kind of were very interesting from the very beginning, and people kind of were immediately clued into what we were talking about.
Exactly. What if, you know, the honeybees all died out, right? You know, there are huge geographic implications for that. Putting it within inside a what if framework made it a little bit easier to digest and sort of helped us to talk about some of these underlying issues that perhaps, you know, are a little more nebulous, a little bit more hard to grasp unless you frame it in a what if sort of scenario, right? I think most people, as much as, you know, bees might impact their life, they don't think about bees all that often aside from maybe in springtime. And so this is sort of, so that was a really great way to talk about bees and, you know, colony collapse disorder, but we don't really need that crutch anymore. And that's really great. It's going to be really freeing for us. And I'm really excited for sort of this next sort of phase of the podcast so that we are completely and totally unhinged, which we'll see if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think with that, I just have sort of, you know, one other thing to sort of plug here before we, you know, dive into some discussion of what geography more broadly is. And then we'll do some hints at sort of some future episodes that we have planned. But first, if you're watching this video and you're not already subscribed to our Substack, which has also been rebranded from geographybyjeff.substack.com to geographyiseverything.substack.com, now is a great time to do it. Hunter and I, it's used to be sort of a solo project of mine. Hunter and I are sort of collaborating on it a lot more now. So this podcast will live there in addition to all the lovely apps and YouTubes that you already listen to. But there'll also be some exclusive content coming to Substack. So if you don't already listen to it on Substack, which you probably don't because it hasn't been published on Substack yet. None of our previous episodes have. now's a good time to subscribe to the Substack. And so I think with that, Hunter, let's just very briefly talk about geography at large. And I think the very first question is, isn't geography just maps, Hunter?
Well, I mean, that's the go-to for a lot of people. I think that if you live in the United States and you grew up and were educated in the United States, and, you know, we've said this, I think, before, but geography is not this offering that you get every, you know, throughout the year. It's often like a small unit in a social sciences kind of class. And it's maybe a couple days or a week where you have to memorize, you know, places in the world, states, capitals, stuff like that, and that's actually useful in a lot of ways because that's the basic vocabulary that geographers use. But that's where it stops sometimes, I think, mm-hmm. in a lot of secondary education and elementary and secondary education in the United States. And maps are part of the way that geographers talk about their work, but it's just really one small part of what geography is more broadly.
Right. And I think, to get away from maps a little bit, although I personally love maps, I make maps, I love looking at them. Maps are a really big part of geography, but it's really more of just a way to interpret geography, right? It's just one aspect of one way to interpret geography.
It's one way to share spatial data, right? Instead of having all these charts and tables, you know, if you look at a map of the world and you have some information in a thematic map, which might show, you know, population, or maybe it shows you know, how much corn is grown in a place or what languages are spoken. You can look at that map and you can get a pretty good understanding pretty quickly. We're looking at all those pieces of data in a table or in a spreadsheet or something. It would take a lot longer to interpret.
That's a perfect way to summarize it. I think if we distill it a little bit more, there's two sort of broad-based sort of concepts of geography, and that it would be human and cultural geography. That's something that the two of us specialize in a lot more. And there's also physical geography, which would be, you know, why does it rain here and not there? Why is there a mountain here and not there? What is a lagoon versus a bay? You know, that kind of stuff. It's just, you know, we don't necessarily need to dive into either of those at, you know, this sort of, you know, rebranding announcement, mini podcast, whatever we're calling it. But it's just a way to frame things. And, you know, as we go through into sort of, you know, our new sort of episodes that we're thinking about, we're going to be touching on both of those, you know, separately or together, really depending on the topic. But those will be, if you're a little bit more involved in the geography field, you're probably going to have heard about human geography versus physical geography. And both are fun. I enjoy both. Yeah.
I mean, they kind of feed into one another. And, you know, physical geography, there's sort of three sort of main branches of physical geography. One of them is geomorphology, which is the study of how the Earth's surface changes. And a lot of geomorphologists are looking at the way that water or wind, for example, will change the surface of the Earth. And there's a lot more involved, but at the broadest level, that's one way to talk about it. There's biogeography, which is looking at the distribution and development and diffusion of different flora and fauna throughout the world. And then there's climatology, is looking at climate over time in different areas as well. I mean, those are really the templates on which human geography comes into play. And that's looking at all the geographies that relate to people. So how the economy, for example, and why are, you know, certain places in the world more affluent or more poor? How come certain industries are here and not there?
Mm-hmm.
We can also talk about political geography. You know, how does the modern state system arise? And we've talked about that already on our podcast.
Oh boy, we can talk about the geography of politics very locally as well.
Right. There's a lot. And then scale, right, as you're suggesting, is a really important thing. So you can talk about it at different scales. And then cultural geography, you know, that's something we're both, as you said, we're both into. We've both written about soccer, for example. And people are thinking soccer geography. Well, think about it. I mean, there is a geography to where soccer is popular, or to different styles of soccer, or to the history of when it was created and when it became a professional league, if it is a professional league, and all these kinds of things. And so when we're talking about cultural geography, we're talking about the spatial dynamics of different aspects of culture. And that might be sport, or that might be music. It might be language. It could be many different things.
Right. And I'll just touch on one last thing, because I just remembered that we're doing this, Hunter, not to get away from geography, but if you're watching this on YouTube, you know, you are for the first time seeing Hunter and I talk to you like on video.
You're seeing what we look like.
Seeing what we look like. I mean, you probably already knew what I looked like because you probably knew me from, you know, my YouTube channel, but we are now recording these and putting them on YouTube so that you can see us. So if you are listening there, hello. You're not really going to get anything extra aside from being able to see us, which some people really like. So that's why we're doing it. So I think just in our last few minutes here of our sort of rebranding podcast, I wanted to briefly talk, or not talk about, but, you know, hint at sort of what we have planned. And the way we're going to do this is going to be a little bit fun. So we have basically five concepts that we're going to sort of run through, and we're going to do like a quick synopsis of how these things tie into geography in some way to the best of what we know today. Now, granted, this is before, aside from one, we've done a huge amount of research. So bear with us a little bit on that. And Hunter, I'm going to kick it over to you really quick with a topic that you like quite a bit. And that is geography is Lego. Hunter, why is geography Lego?
Well, so Lego is, I'm part of the Lego community, you know, on different scales here. And it's something that, you know, a lot of people use and play with when they're kids. And then adults are into Lego as well. And it's something that was invented in Denmark and has kind of diffused throughout the world. And there's a lot to say about it. There's a lot to say about how, you know, the factories that create it. There's five factories throughout the world. There's a sixth one being built. And it's, you know, thinking about how it plays out differently in different places, what people are interested in, and then how it ties people together over space as well. And so there's a lot we could say about that. But when we're talking about cultural geography, that would be a really good example of that. But it also, you know, we can also tie in economics and politics even to a topic like that.
Well, and I'll do one that even I was thinking about. But, you know, in terms of Lego, as you're building them as a kid, you are kind of building geography, right? A lot of them are city based, nature based, right? It's really sort of fundamental in teaching, especially children, you're at the early ages of their sort of educational, education, sort of why and how things work and why sort of, things sort of start out in sort of a small area and then sort of can grow into a much larger area.
It puts you in the role of creator, right? It puts you in the role of being a creator to create, you know, your own world, your own cities, your own trees, your own spaceships, whatever it happens to be. And it's a pretty unique thing. I mean, there are things that are sort of like it, but, you've talked to people who are committed to Lego, they will suggest that it's actually quite different than anything else. And, you know, these are some of the themes that we'll explore when we do an episode on geography's Lego.
Right. And so just to keep us moving, and this is one that I just thought up earlier today, Hunter, but I really want to do an episode on it in the future. But it is geography is the golf cart.
All right. Talk to me about that.
So the golf cart, everybody knows what a golf cart is. It's those little mini vehicles that people take around golf, golf courses, what have you. But I actually have talked to a lot of people inside the transportation world who are now basically saying, well, golf carts are the future. This is the future of mobility because they are very light, very mobile, don't take up a lot of energy, get people around in a pretty efficient way. And so what you're starting to see is these communities, especially, I would say older communities, but starting to branch out a little bit from there, that historically have been very automobile oriented, but are still relatively small and compact, that are now starting to gravitate towards this, this new sort of transportation method, which is the golf cart, new, quote unquote, new. And it's really fun to see and sort of hear about sort of people's, I guess, experiences with the golf cart as this way of getting around, versus, a car or a truck or something that's much bigger and, takes a lot more energy. And so I guess the biggest example here that I'll give you is, there's this, city in Florida that is, infamously very conservative, called the Villages, right? And I think, we heard a lot about it during, 2016, maybe. And, you would think a conservative minded place would be very oriented towards, automobile, whatever, big trucks, big SUVs. However, they have actually become a very heavily golf cart oriented city, which is really interesting, really great to see people eschew this kind of, car masculinity sort of type of ethos for something that is, not really, which is kind of really thought of as a toy up until not that long ago. It was really associated with recreation. And of course, this all ties into the greater sort of idea of, golf courses and sort of the geography behind that. It's going to be a really fun episode to explore. I'm really excited about sort of telling the story behind the golf cart and sort of telling a little bit more about where it's going and sort of what it can be. Because I think there's definitely a place in this world for more golf carts.
Well, I mean, there's this practical nature of being able to get around for small, relatively shorter trips that sort of makes a lot of sense. So it'll be interesting to hear from you and to learn more about this particular idea.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we're going to do one more. And this is actually an episode that we are preparing for. Well, it won't be this week, but it'll be next week. Hunter, geography is the potato. Why is that?
Well, I mean, the potato is one of the most important staple crops in the world, right? There's wheat, there's corn, there's rice, there's the potato, and these are some of the major staples. There's a particular origin spot for the potato, which is in the Andes, and it has now been adopted throughout many parts of the world and has become something that has been thought of as a really important local aspect of not only agriculture, but culture as well. By discussing the way that the potato has moved throughout the world, you can learn a lot about the way that people have moved throughout the world as well, and how it's changed the way that people regard agriculture. There's just a lot of different stories that can be appreciated and that you can learn about by tracking the geography of the potato.
Yeah, I would say it's probably my most favorite vegetable. It's called the vegetable.
It's a tuber.
I guess we'll get to that. We'll
That's
talk
right.
about
it. It's not strictly a vegetable, but it is a source of nutrition that if you don't have anything else, you can get pretty far on the potato.
It's great. I love it. Okay. So with that, I think we're going to wrap this up here. We're really excited. We're not going to bother doing plugs or anything like that, I don't think. Just know that we're excited about sort of this new direction of the podcast, and we're going to be bringing you a lot more sort of fun geography filled episodes, starting this week with, sort of our last, what if branded episode on, what if New York City was its own country. And then we're going to sort of launch from there with a great episode or two on everybody's favorite, not quite a vegetable, the potato.
I think it's going to be exciting to look at things and to frame things a little bit differently and to build on what we've already done. And we can throw in some what ifs because that's been good. Mm-hmm. But to be able to have episodes where that's not the main hook, I think will be good as well.
Yeah. All right. And I guess with that, we'll see you guys on Wednesday. Literally. Like if you're watching on YouTube, we won't see you. You'll see us.
Hopefully you'll see us. Thank you.
All right. Bye.